From the National Catholic Register, this is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
With the election only weeks away, both the Trump and Biden campaigns know that the Catholic vote will be vital for victory on November 3rd. Where do Catholics stand at this point? This week on Register Radio, we talked to Carl Cannon from Real Clear Politics about the latest EWTN News Real Clear Opinion Research poll on Catholics and the vote. And then we talked to Register contributor Judy Roberts about the autumn of hope for Catholics in the midst of the pandemic. I'm Matthew Bunsen, filling in for Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register, Jeanette DeMello, who's off this week. Catholics are one of the most important voting groups in the entire country, and neither Donald Trump nor Joe Biden can win without Catholic support. EWTN News and Real Clear Opinion Research have partnered for the last year to conduct four major polls of Catholics. The result of the fourth and final poll have just been released on where Catholics stand, now only days away from the presidential election. To help unpack the results of the poll, I'm joined by Carl Cannon, executive editor and Washington bureau chief for Real Clear Politics. Well, Carl, thank you so much for joining me. This has been the end of sort of a saga of a year of polling, and it's been a joy working with you. But I guess my starting question is, looking back on this last year, what is the experience of sort of polling just the Catholic voting bloc been like for you?
Well, you know, Matthew, you and I realized right away something we knew already, but how when you get the data, how fascinating it is that the Catholic vote, it's so large and it's so important. Everybody wants to know how it's going to come out, but it's so large and disparate. You're talking about, you know, three or four different electorates, and finding out where different types of Catholics, different Hispanics, young Catholics, and the part that you and I focused on right away, all through all four polls, is the dichotomy between people who are very serious about their faith and, you know, go to Mass once a week or more often, believe it what the hierarchy is telling them, but follow the teachings of the Pope. All of these people are look differently than, you know, just people who, cultural Catholics and occasional attendees. And that was what I thought was maybe the most interesting thing.
Yeah, and looking back, you're something of a political historian, I know. We can go all the way back to 1928 with the Al Smith campaign, and then jump ahead to Kennedy, and then to 2004 with Kerry, and now 2020 with Joe Biden. How has the so-called Catholic vote changed over that time frame?
Well, that is a very fascinating development, because it showed you how the country's changed. So four Roman Catholic presidential nominees of major parties, all Democrats. Al Smith loses in a landslide to Hoover. There's a lot of other things going on besides the country's having a referendum on drinking. And, you know, Hoover was a dry and Al Smith was a wet. And within three or four years, Americans had rethought that. But
They rethought Hoover, too, didn't they?
Well, yes. And he did. You know, he had something like happened to him what happened to President Trump, which is a calamity, a national calamity, an international calamity, not of his own making. But presidents are judged how they handle these things.
And you're referencing, of course, the Great Depression.
The Great Depression, right. And, you know, who Roosevelt, by the way, at the phrase happy warrior, which we associate with FDR, if you're a modern person, maybe with Hubert Humphrey, mm-hmm. the happy warrior. That phrase is first uttered in American politics by Roosevelt about Al Smith at the convention. It's a speech written for him. It didn't really fit Al Smith, who it could be kind of dour, but it certainly fit Roosevelt. In any event, so you don't have another Catholic nominee until 1960. What happens then is that John F. Kennedy is the pride, not just of Irish Catholics, but all Roman Catholics in this country. He handles the issue very well. There are still Protestants who say the kind of ugly things they said about Al Smith, but the country's changed between 1928 and 1960. Now, that John F. Kennedy's a war hero, and this country had fought a war against racism, against Nazism, against Imperial Japan, and you know, that backfired. John F. Kennedy carried, we think, exit polling wasn't as good as it is now, but at least, you know, 80% of the Catholic vote, 4 out of 5, maybe more. And, you know, there were, and it's the reason he became president. It was a net gain for him. There for every Protestant who voted against him because he was Catholic, there were 4 or 5 Catholics who voted for him because he was Catholic. And so that was thought to be the end of it. When John Kerry ran, John F. Kerry, another JFK, in 2004, Matthew, he doesn't even carry the Catholic vote. Now, exactly. Kerry's a Catholic. He's not thought of that way, but he was. He is. And he doesn't. He loses the Catholic vote to George W. Bush by, we think, you know, 7 points. And if he had carried the Catholic vote by the margin he lost it by, he'd have been elected president probably. So that brings us to now, where we have another Roman Catholic nominee.
And Joe Biden has made a very concerted effort to reach out to Catholics. He has certainly played up his own self-identified Catholic upbringing and how important the faith is to him. Has that made a difference?
Well, that's the question you and I have been wondering about as we look at this data. I suspect it has. He's running ahead in our poll, the Real Clear EWTN poll among Roman Catholics, by 12 points. It's higher even than he's doing in the overall nationally, where he's, you know, his lead nationally is between, you know, 6-7 points, and it's been as high as 10. But Catholics, 12 points. And, you know, he has the same problem John Kerry has. He's a Democrat, so he has to be not just a pro-choicer, but, you know, an absolutist on this. There's no daylight between Joe Biden and NARAL on the issue of abortion, a very important issue among the life issues. But in other, and you know, he can't finesse that. But in other ways, you know, people have seen, you know, Biden's crossed himself in public. He uses Catholic alliteration when he speaks. He's very comfortable as a Catholic. He clearly thinks of himself that way, and in that sense, he's tapped into a little bit of that pride that Catholics had in John F. Kennedy. You know, he's not going to win by 80. He's not going to take 4 out of 5 Catholic votes. But Matthew, if he wins the Catholic vote by 12 percentage points, he's going to be president.
And what does that say about sort of the state of American Catholicism? I know you're a political person, but how would you interpret that?
Well, you know, this is interesting because if the most ardent Catholics, the most pious, the most devout, whatever words you want to say, I mean those in a respectful way, if the people who really believe in their church and work, they volunteer in the parishes, they go to Mass like once a week, they say the rosary regularly, they do all of the things and they adhere to the teachings of the church, those people are still going to vote for Donald Trump, a majority of them. And I don't know what the percentage will be, but more than half of them will vote for and they've become Republicans since John F. Kennedy was around, and because of these social issues, because of these issues that we talk about. They've accepted Trump. They like his policies. They don't always like his temperament or his, you know, he's got a salty personality. He's been divorced twice. You know, he's nobody's idea of a Catholic saint or any kind of saint, but they, on the issues they care about, especially the right to life, he's been there for them, and he's going to get their support. You've got a lot of other Catholics, especially younger Catholics, college-age Catholics, who say, you know, okay, that's one life issue, but there are other life issues. There's war, and there's these other issues, and poverty, and social justice, and we don't, and this guy is not the leader for us, and we don't increasingly think the Republican Party is the party for us. And so this is the And that's true, especially with Hispanics and younger Catholics. And I think it's a challenge for the church going forward.
Yeah, I mean, we can have the whole conversation about several generations of very poor formation. We saw that, for example, in this fourth poll about those who accept the teachings of the church on the Eucharist and the real presence. The number that jumped out to me was the confession number. Where you had 40% of Catholics who go to confession on at least a monthly or yearly basis. And then when you start looking at Mass attendance and things, those who do not go to Mass, only 3% go to confession. So that's a pretty significant failure, I think, isn't it, in terms of how we're catechizing our young Catholics?
Well, look, but that's right. but the church has the same problem the other denominations have. You know, in the Pew Forum, Pew, as their poll they do on religion and public life, and it's a very good poll. They've been doing it for many years, and they had this category. I remember when I first started reading the polls 10 years ago, they call it nuns. Mm-hmm. And we'd all laugh because when you're doing a presentation, nuns, we're not talking about nuns in a habit. We're talking about N-O-N-E-S, nuns. No, they have none. That's their answer when you ask them, what's your religious denomination? You know, Presbyterian, Protestant, Evangelical, Jewish, Muslim, Catholic. Then there's the last category, none. Mm-hmm. And that number's been going up steadily, and especially among young people. Young people account for the entire rise of that. And so, you know, we're becoming a less spiritual country, and that's worrisome to many people who've looked at this. And you notice this in our politics. You know, the George W. Bush, who's a Protestant, used to talk about God a lot, and he would be attacked for this in the press. But Bush talked about God the way every previous president had talked. Every president had you know, especially during wartime, unabashedly summoned on Americans' faith in a power larger than themselves and larger than temporal beings. But suddenly in the Democratic Party, that's a little bit tenuous. And in that sense, Joe Biden is a throwback and maybe the last of his kind.
Mm-hmm. So here we have Donald Trump, who needs to carry essentially the same type of a voting block that he did in 2016, especially in some of those key districts. What did we find in our fourth poll relating especially to the battlegrounds?
Well, it's tighter there, as you'd expect. But, if you're looking for if you'd like this president to win re-election, then what you're looking at in our poll, I think, that gives you some hope is that Judge Amy Barrett was a popular pick. Most people like her, most Catholics like her, and the religious freedom issues score very high among Catholics. And the president has been talking about this, while Joe Biden hasn't really gone there. He kind of avoided it. But Kamala Harris was bailing out protesters, and some of these protesters were not just tearing out statues of Confederates, but defacing churches, Bibles, burning Bibles, defacing statues of Catholic saints, and doing all this. Our poll shows that Catholics of any type of Catholic, the ones we've been talking about, liberals, Democrats, Republicans, no matter how often they go to church, really take a dim view of that. And so when the president talks about this, these issues, he's on solid ground with Catholics. And, if he stresses, if people become worried enough about that in these battleground states, and they hear, it's why the Democrats didn't treat Judge Barrett, frankly, the way they treated Brett Kavanaugh, is they can read polls too, and they realize this, they didn't want to alienate Catholic voters. But that's what stuck out for me. What about you? What did you think was the good news, if you will, there for Republicans in swing states in our data?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think there's the tightness in those swing states. I think that the blue-collar Democrats who were important to Trump's win, especially, again, in those marginal districts, those swing districts, they seem to be continuing to favor him. And then there's the mass attendance question. There's a religious liberty question. But the one I wanted to get to especially is, in front of us, we're finishing up here. Two things. First, what do you see are the biggest issues? Here we are just days away from the election for Catholics. And then what should we be looking for in the days just before the election and even perhaps election night that will give us a bit of an indicator as to where the Catholic vote went?
Well, two things. I think that, this pandemic has blotted out the sun as an issue. And so the coronavirus, all these issues are rolled into this. The coronavirus, education, education went down in our issues, but did it really go down? Because when people think of education, they're thinking, my kids aren't in school. So what they're really thinking is education is a pandemic issue too. They're all pandemic issues. And the normal issues Catholics care about, immigration, education, these went down a little bit, and coronavirus went up. The economy is a coronavirus, issue as well. Two things, a curious thing is that a majority of people a surprisingly high number of people said that they're in the poll doing better than they were 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that old Reagan question that he asked, the devastating effect when you run against Jimmy Carter, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Even with this pandemic, people, most Catholics are doing okay. But when you ask how you think other people are doing, the numbers are, they don't think they're doing well. So what that showed me is that, first of all, this economy has been pretty resilient, and people haven't been, this is not 1932, they haven't been devastated, most of them. But also, Catholics have this empathy. They care about other people. And what, you know, and Joe Biden, you know, he's hit on this. He keeps talking about uniting the people and how we care about each other. That's a good message for Catholics. And I'd be interested in the closing weeks of the debate if Donald Trump picks up on some of that. In terms of what to watch for election night, well, a couple of three things. The first is Florida. That we'll know those results probably pretty quick. And there's a lot of Catholics who've moved in, many of them from 500,000 from Puerto Rico and other places in this corridor they call the I-4 corridor, Orlando in this place. How do these places turn out? Does Trump have more strength with Latinos than Democrats think he will? That could be the case. So that's the first thing to watch for. And then the other thing is, as you mentioned, these counties in Pennsylvania, heavily Catholic, working class. We used to call them Reagan Democrats. They voted for Obama the first time. Many of them voted for him the second time, and then they turn around and voted for Donald Trump. So if Trump hangs on to those counties in Pennsylvania, those rural counties, and he ekes out another very narrow win in Pennsylvania, well, then we know we're in for not only a long night, but maybe a long 2-3 months as we count all these absentee ballots that are floating around.
My thanks to Carl Cannon, the executive editor and Washington bureau chief for Real Clear Politics. We're going to take a break now, but when we come back, we're going to talk with Judy Roberts, a registered contributor, about her piece on the Autumn of Hope for Catholics in schools in the midst of the pandemic. This is Register Radio.
In these uncertain times, Catholics depend on EWTN's National Catholic Register. The Register is so much more than a newspaper. It's your faith, your life, your source of information and spiritual resources. The Register is uplifting, redemptive journalism, interviews with Catholic leaders and newsmakers, liturgical coverage, health, financial, and political topics, and analysis of the key issues you care most about. EWTN's National Catholic Register covers every aspect of the Catholic faith that impacts your world. To get 6 free issues, order online at ncregister.com/radio or call 800-421-3230 and mention code radio. That's ncregister.com/radio or call 800-421-3230 and mention code radio. The National Catholic Register. Read faithfully.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
Welcome back to Register Radio. I'm Matthew Bunsen, filling in this week for Jeanette DeMello, who's out. Well, like schools everywhere, Catholic schools have struggled in the face of the COVID-19 pandemic. And we were bracing for a very difficult school year. In some places, however, Catholic schools are harvesting a season of hope. And to talk about that, I'm joined by Judy Roberts, a Register contributor, who can fill us in about this surprising development. Judy has a great piece called Catholic School Systems Harvest, Autumn of Hope, Safe Plan for Reopening Yields Admissions Uptick. So, Judy, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, the thing that immediately caught my eye about your piece was, two things. First, there was this idea of an autumn of hope, which everyone needs at this point. But the other is the
Absolutely.
Idea of a safe plan for reopening. First, when did you start hearing about this surprising development of how well many Catholic schools are doing?
Well, I actually heard about it in my own diocese when some of the lockdowns started to end. And I would notice on the morning news that the stories were about not public schools reopening, but Catholic schools. And they were the first ones in our area to reopen. And they did so safely, and they've done so with very good results. So then, of course, after that, I think we started to pick up things in other parts of the country, especially in the Archdiocese of Boston. They've just had a huge, huge turnaround there, as you know.
Yeah, I know that the National Catholic Education Association had been reporting that there could be as many as, 150 schools that would be closed. So I think everyone was kind of bracing for a school year that was going to be a disaster, and yet we're looking at pretty remarkable numbers, aren't we?
We are. There are still some closures and still quite a few, but the upside of that is that many of the jurisdictions are seeing the enrollment increases, and they've even got waiting lists in some of these schools. And Boston is the big, of course, the big story. It's a big area. They cover huge, huge territory. They had planned, expected, I think at least 12% of their schools not to reopen in the fall, and now they're looking at the biggest summer enrollment increase in their history. So that's pretty big. For them, it happened. Tom Carroll, their superintendent, said that happened on the weekend that the three big teachers unions, they were released to go back to school or resume classes by the governor of Massachusetts. And at that time, the three big teachers unions said, well, we think we should delay this for 3 weeks, and even then we should only be fully remote. And immediately, Carroll said, our phone started ringing off the hook. I mean, he said it was like, his quote was, it was like every parent in the Boston area just totally flipped out and said, what do you mean no school? And so they're looking at the Catholic option. And a lot of them are Catholic families, but they just never went to a Catholic school before. So this is also a great opportunity for Catholic schools to say, look what we can do. And maybe, and hopefully maybe these kids will stay if things ever return to normal.
Well, that's one of my questions, because this has been obviously a very difficult and challenging year for families and educators. So how have the Catholic school teachers responded to this?
Well, I think the one school that I mentioned in particular, I was extremely impressed with how they handled this, and I think they're emblematic of a lot of the other schools. I mean, these schools are not just saying, oh, well, whatever, come on back, just come back. It's definitely not like that. They are following their state health guidelines. They're very, very specific plans that they have crafted. And one of these schools posted their plan on their website, and I was extremely impressed with it. They have even just their section on personal protective gear. They not only go into how that the kids have to wear masks, but we're issuing you a mask. And this is part of your uniform, and this is how you wear it, and this is how you care for it. And they also, they're supplementing that with, or some of the faculty are wearing transparent masks and face shields also. But for the kids, they have to wear these masks. They're told how to care for them. They have mask breaks, and they talk about how those are going to work. I mean, that kind of detail, that shows to me the care that these schools are putting into making sure their kids get back safely.
Well, that was one of the points I know that has been raised on a number of occasions, especially about religious schools and elsewhere. Is it safe for them to return? And it sounds as though, certainly in the cases that you're listing, that a great deal of thought is going into this, especially since, is there discussion at all about, because we really don't know how long this could be going on?
Well, one of the schools told me that it was actually her care plan that got parents interested in her kids coming back to school. That was a woman at Immaculate Conception in the Bronx, and she said that was what the draw was when people saw the kind of safety protocols that we had in place. They said, yeah, we're willing to do that. We can see that our kids are going to be okay if you come back. And a lot of these schools have done things. They've had to install plexiglass partitions for their kids. So a lot of these are permanent changes. So if things change or things get worse or whatever, their kids are still going to be able to go to school. And the other thing a lot of schools have done, especially in Boston, is they have really ramped up their remote learning technology. And they're saying, look, we don't know how long this is going to last, so we're putting money into this, and we're going to make sure that our kids are not abandoned if that happens again.
Mm-hmm.
So,
So when we think about the schools just being open, we think of everyone going back to school, but is that actually the case here, or are different schools and even different dioceses and archdioceses looking at different models that might be best suited for their particular circumstances?
National Catholic Education Association says 80 to 85% of Catholic schools have reopened for in-person instruction 5 days a week. Now, every school, as far as I understand, that offers in-person also offers the remote option. If a student isn't comfortable, or parents aren't comfortable, or maybe they have elderly in their home or who are vulnerable, so they want to make sure the kids aren't going into school every day or whatever. But those options are still available. So, yeah, but most are going back 5 days a week. And, in fact, you see it in families where they've maybe got one kid in public school and one kid in private school. The Catholic schools are back 5 days a week, and a lot of the public schools are still two in person and three remote. They're still doing hybrid models. Now, and Catholic schools are doing hybrid models, too, especially for older grades. But the younger grades, a lot of them are still 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm. And I know you talked to the parents who were very happy about this development. So what were they telling you?
Well, parents, you know, I think I don't want to give parents a bad rap here when they say they want their kids to go back 5 days. It's not that, I don't think it's that the parents don't want to get rid of the kids and are tired of having them at home. I think they're just saying, we know our kids learn better in person, and teachers know that too. And our kids want to be in school. I mean, they miss their friends. They want to be involved in their sports activities and their other extracurriculars and things like that, or they miss their teachers. So I think that's their motive, and I think they're very happy.
Yeah, and is there any concern that once we move out of this pandemic that we'll lose those kids, or are we just happy with this current situation?
No, I think that is a concern, and I think that I know Tom Carroll in Boston especially said, you know, if they can see, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to expose people who've never been in a Catholic school to our mission, to how we do it, you know, and let's face it, as Catholics, we think our schools do it better, and they do it on a lot less money for students, too. But he said, you know, we're going to have to work to make sure that we can make sure they see this in a way that it's powerful enough that they're not going to walk away at the end of the school year. He said, frankly, a lot of people look at Catholic schools and think, well, it's just another school. It's a school that charges tuition. But he said, it is so much more than that, and that's what we have to show them. And my principal I talked to, and not my principal, but the principal in the Bronx, she said, really, once people come in and they see what we do, they see the sense of community that we have, the way we communicate with families, the way we collaborate with families, they want to stay.
Amen. Really want. Well, yeah. Catholic School Systems Harvest Autumn of Hope. Judy Roberts, you can read that at ncregister.com. Well, remember, for more news, analysis, and commentary, check out the National Catholic Register online at ncregister.com. Thanks so much for joining me today on Register Radio here on EWTN. For Jeanette DeMello, producer Jeff Burson, I'm Matthew Bunsen. Until next week, take care and God bless.